You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
If you're just tuning in, it's 22-7. You are tuned into the SAFM Market Update with MoneyWeb. I am your host, Jimmy Moyaha, and we're taking a look at the upcoming COP28 summit. The summit kicks off on Thursday and will run until the 12th of December. I'm joined by Sandra Villars, who is a partner for financial services at Oliver Wyman, to take a look at the expectations of COP28. Sandra, good evening. Thanks so much for taking the time. Do we have any idea of what's on the agenda for this particular summit and what themes we hoping to see come out?
Yes, absolutely. Jamie, good evening. We do have a pretty good idea of what will be discussed and some of the key themes, particularly kind of from the perspective of the African continent. And one of the places that we can look to kind of get a good summary of what African governments and leaders will be looking for is the recent Nairobi Declaration on Climate Change. So this was signed by a number of African heads of state at the Africa Climate Summit in Nairobi a couple of months ago. And it speaks to a number of things. One is the shortfall, the much discussed shortfall in terms of the amounts of money that have been pledged by developed nations to finance towards climate finance in developing nations. And so an amount of about $100 billion was pledged annually and committed. And there have been shortfalls on that for over a decade. And while by some accounts, that amount has just only recently been met. But I mean, if you contrast that with the fact that Africa kind of needs an estimated $200-300 billion annually to meet climate finance goals, then you can see that still presents a challenge. And in fact, only 3% currently of global climate finance goes to Africa. So this is a big issue. And then there are a couple of other issues on the agenda, such as the loss and damage fund, which was agreed to at the last COP, the COP27 in Egypt. And this was agreed to in principle, which was an achievement that I think a lot of people thought it wasn't going to happen, but it did. And now the next step is to actually see if that can be operationalized to kind of compensate or to provide support to climate vulnerable countries, of which African countries are well represented in that group. For the loss and damage that they experience in terms of, you know, drought, flooding, et cetera. So these are some of the issues, as well as just kind of really fundamental issues around sort of financing models and financing frameworks.
Sandra, you touched on the financial aspects and the shortfall in the financing. Who are we expecting to take the lead on this in terms of the summit? I mean, if 3% of financing currently goes to Africa, and we're still hearing a lot of sentiment around the world saying that regions like Africa need to fast track their climate change objectives and all of that, how is this expected to sort of marry that side of it with the lack of financing?
Right. And so the key question is, where does the money come from?
Mm.
And I think that there's a big focus on, I should say, first of all, there's a big focus on developing countries and their governments to sort of make good on some of those commitments and to increase those. So that's going to be one of the key focuses. So you've had in the past, for example, the Just Energy Transition Partnership Arrangement, including with South Africa and about three or four others. So arrangements such as that, where you have a mix of concessional financing and others from developing countries, is important to see. Then I think there's also quite a lot on the table as far as looking to rethink the multilateral development bank and development financing approach that we've had for decades now. And the thinking is that there should be additional capacity in some of those institutions, or provided by some of those institutions, if you sort of rethink the way in which we think about capacity to finance or capital or capital strength of those institutions and the way in which they assess risk. So that's another area that people think there may be quite a bit of additional capacity that may be unlocked. And then I think there's a whole set of conversations around how do you crowd in, how do you bring in private sector financing on the back of some of those that public sector finance, which has been much talked about, and you'll hear the term blended finance. And I think we haven't really seen a lot of that come through. And the thinking is that we're looking to see some step forward in terms of this sort of private sector investment, or kind of at least government providing incentives to increase private sector involvement.
Sandra, what are some of the elephants in the room, so to speak, that need to be addressed if we are to have a successful summit, particularly with that focus on only 3% of funding coming to Africa at the moment? How is that going to be looked at in an effort to obviously increase that percentage or that allocation, whether it is from the blended financing options or whether it is from the more developed economies that have been at the forefront of this climate change conversation?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I like the way you put it, elephants in the room, because there's kind of an underlying complexity, which is due to the fact that fundamentally has to address notions around fairness. And that, as we know, can be subjective. Especially when dollars are at stake. But I think there's a sense that you have countries which have not historically contributed much to climate change and therefore should be assisted in the climate transition effort by those countries who have. And so it's kind of, you know, there's an implicit sort of assumption of being accountable for this, which I think is a difficult one to address. And then I think as I mentioned, the whole issue around the global financing system, which many would argue has not favored Africa for decades, and for example, the way in which the risk of investments is usually perceived as being higher. So I think these are some of the key issues. I think there are many others that make it complex and that are elephants in the room. Yeah, but maybe just to mention two of the key ones.
I do wonder how the topic of climate change and the need for pressing on is going to be addressed, particularly, as you mentioned, Sandra, around the fact that some nations have had a bit of a head start in this situation, have had a bit more time to make use of things like fossil fuels for their development and industrialization, as opposed to some other African countries that have been left behind in the developmental stage. Sandra, we'll leave it at that. Hopefully the summit does yield the fruitful results that we hope to see, and that the continent is prioritized as well alongside the international community. Thanks so much, Sandra. That's Sandra Villars, who is a partner for financial services at Oliver Wyman, giving us her thoughts around the upcoming COP28 summit and expectations around what themes could potentially be on that agenda.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.